Hey, I'm JR.
And I'm Mike from the 18 Over Par with Mike and JR podcast.
Welcome to season four of the pod, where we'll continue exploring the sights, stories, and sounds of golf on the prairies, where you'll find some of the most golf courses per capita of anywhere in the world, and maybe we'll even drink some more beer this season.
That's right, JR. More beer.
It's the 18 Over Par podcast with Mike and JR.
You suck, you duckass.
Welcome to 18 Over Par with Mike and JR, proudly presented by Bryce Matlashewski, who is an investment advisor with Endeavor Wealth Management, part of IA Private Wealth, and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. You can contact Bryce at 204-515-3446. I'm JR, he's Mike, and today we're joined by 2023 Prairie Scratch Tour champion Adam Gunther. He's a former CPGA pro and current member at Elmhurst Golf and Country Club. What a spectacular facility we are in again. I forget, I always try and tell myself to write down the last time we were at places, or when we were referring to a past guest, what season and what episode it was. So we're at Avid Golf on Taylor Ave here. So shout out to Avid Luke for helping us out and hooking us up with this lovely spot. So if you hear some background noise, it's because, well, it's an active facility.
It's very active.
It is very active.
It is active.
And it has changed since we were here. They have their liquor license, and so we're enjoying some Brazen Hall Avid Golf brews. We got the blonde, and I'm drinking the amber ale, the course record amber ale.
Very
and
nice.
And Adam and Mike, you guys got the blondes.
The blonde ale, the house beer, a.k.a. swing oil. Very nice. Very nice.
And shout out to Brazen Hall.
Yeah.
They sponsor us. Get us some beer.
They got a mention last episode,
they did,
too.
Right?
Christian, we have your number, but we don't know how to use our phones, so we'll send you a fax.
We do know how to fax. If you've heard our show, we do know how to fax. And so shout out to Avid Luke. We got Avid Derek here. We also got Ryan McMillan here.
Very nice.
Hopefully he's going to be coming on the show a little bit later this season.
I saw him mixing drinks.
Was he?
On the Avid Instagram.
Oh, he's a mixologist too, right?
Yeah. What is it? The sawgrass drink or something with some orange juice and all sorts of fun stuff. But very exciting.
We're sticking to beer tonight. Maybe hit some golf shots later in the Sims. Foresight Sports. I know if you listen to Luke's episode, again, I believe it was season two, Luke Bohanicky, the owner here of Avid Golf.
We need to get an assistant. Research assistant.
Yes.
Apply within. Send us a fax.
Hit us up. Hit us up. Just go to our social media so we can hit our link in the bio. And we got our link tree there. And we got our contact info, or DM us. And away we go. We'll get it going. And we want to mention, too, the Avid Super Scramble. So check out the Avid Instagram, the Avid Golf Instagram, and their social media channels. We'll also post a link to that on our link tree. And they're going to be coming out with a Super Scramble soon. So Andre, Frenchie, Martel.
Yeah.
Mike, I, Avid Luke. We might just be up there.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It was like a month long, or it was
let's not get too much into the details yet.
It sounds
it hasn't been released yet. Okay,
oh, right. Yeah, it sounds amazing. Yet.
Yeah, so it's gonna be a great time. And speaking of a great time, we're gonna have a great time tonight. And also, if you are looking for a great time, or an even better time when it comes to your finances, check out Bryce Matlashewski, who is an investment advisor with Endeavor Wealth Management, part of IA Private Wealth, and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. You can contact Bryce 204-515-3446. He's also got his link in our link tree. Again, hit up our social medias, Facebook, Instagram. Link is in our bio, and away we go. But we are here to chat about golf, as we always do here on the 18 Over Par podcast. And Adam, wow, you had quite the year last year. You've had quite the golf history here. I don't even think you're that old. You don't have to give us your age, but...
I'm 40.
Did you just turn 40 this year, or is it, the big 4-0 this year? Wow, are you going on any golf trips? How did you celebrate?
Yeah, I've got a golf trip planned in May. We're going down to Brainerd, Minnesota.
Okay.
Pretty sweet spot. We're going to go with 8 guys down there for a weekend. It should be good.
Jeez.
Yeah, Brainerd's always a good time.
Yeah, the stay-and-play package is hard to beat. So many good courses there, and... pretty much just taken care of start to finish. So it's.
Will you be playing? Was it Deacon's Lodge? That's not, the one where you have to pay, I think, extra. But
it depends where your package is booked.
Okay.
We're not playing Deacon's. We're doing the Dutch, the Legacy, Preserve, and Classic.
Wow. Yeah. It's been a while since I've been down there. So.
And do you remember?
I remember. Well, we played like White Birch Traditional and Deacon's. So that was through, I guess that was Breezy Point. So maybe you're staying at a different resort.
Yeah, we're at Craigan's.
Yeah. Craigan's. We'll have to go down to Craigan's.
Craigan's, great name.
Yeah, we'll get them on the pod.
Well, speaking of being down there, Mike, you were down in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
And you took a little detour.
Yeah.
Where did you end up and how did you end up there? It was even a shock to me.
Just, I texted you. I was like, hey, I sent you a picture of the clubhouse. You're like, oh, wow, that looks like a nice place. How'd you get in there? I was like, oh, it's Pinehurst. Yeah. I was down in Statesville, North Carolina, doing some work, saving lives, doing what I do. And had some time before my flight this morning. So I drove all the way down to Pinehurst. It was about 2 hours. Wanted to play the Cradle course, which is their par 3 9-hole course there. Unfortunately, the PGA of Pennsylvania had it all locked down for some team building thing they were doing. But so I watched them for a bit tee off, and they have an 18-hole putting course. It's called Thistle Dew. So it is very undulating, large green with different holes locations. So that was pretty cool. Very similar to like the Himalayas at the old course, if you want to look that one up too. But so just being there, it was absolutely amazing. Bought some U.S. Open Pinehurst No. 2 merchandise, but what an absolute golf mecca. Can't wait to go back. But yeah, looked beautiful.
So. And did you get to, you got to putt?
I got to putt, yeah. Okay. Shout out to Ed, the old man at the Cradle clubhouse there. I traded him my license for a putter to borrow. Nice Scotty putter too. But I gave it back, had to get that license back to get back in the country. But I did putt. So unfortunately, didn't get to play the Cradle next time. That'll be the reality, hopefully.
Yeah, that's, wow. Again, a shocker to me, and I think a shocker to a lot of folks. Are like, oh, yeah, you should go down there and play Tobacco Road and do all that. It's like Mike was on a business trip, and he had to make a detour, and he's got to be on a flight earlier in the morning.
About a four-hour detour, but...
worth it, I'm sure.
It was worth it. I was in the same state, right? So you just got to do what you got to do, and it was fun.
And no Jets games. You couldn't find the Jets game at the bar.
Just college basketball down there.
Yeah, it's college basketball town, state, whatever you want to call it. Anyways, Adam, you're here. Let's get into it. How did you get into golf? Was it at a young age?
Yeah, so I come from a golfing family.
Oh, okay.
My dad's whole side of the family plays golf. So, like, my grandpa and his brothers played. My dad was the oldest of 4 brothers, 3 of whom play a lot. My dad was a single digit for his whole life, essentially. My Uncle Daryl, same deal. My Uncle Brian is a CPGA. He's been so for probably close to 30 years now. So,
jeez, should have had them on the show.
Yeah, exactly. So I came out and, basically was swinging a plastic club since the time I could walk.
Did you get some hand-me-downs or cut-down clubs then when you were starting out?
Yeah, I probably, the first club I can remember hitting was probably a Chichi Rodriguez Persimmon cut-down driver. That's the first thing I can remember hitting. I don't know what the irons were, but that was the first club I can recall. Yeah.
That's a name you can't forget.
No.
I think I still have that club somewhere. I'm not sure where it is, but it's kicking around somewhere.
Did you grow up in Winnipeg area?
No, in Steinbeck.
Steinbeck, okay.
So the whole Gunther clan's out there. And
nice.
Shout out to Steinbeck.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Flying.
We were at the Flying all the time, Basically just tagging along with my dad and going to the range from yeah, age 4 or 5.
Wow. Well, I mean, did you get any lessons then, or was, I guess, you know, having the CPGA in the family and your dad as well?
We kind of just all hung out at the range and just kind of start picking up the club and hacking around. And yeah, eventually you start getting a little bit of coordination, and that comes way down the road. But no, it just seemed to work out pretty well that we were always at the range after dinner or on the weekends. We were always playing, so just kind of picked it up through repetition.
Were you really good as a junior? Like, did you play competitively a lot or not?
Actually,
so much?
None. Like, oh. I was okay, I guess, but I didn't compete. I think I played the Manitoba Junior once when I was like 15 or 16, but wasn't competitive at all.
Hmm. Wow. And then now you're pretty damn competitive. Yeah. We'll get into some of the Prairie Scratch Tour stuff. I mean, this is, I mean, Avid Golf, it is a Prairie Scratch Tour hangout. So the Prairie Scratch Tour is the amateur tour, or the amateur tour here in Manitoba now that amateurs can make some money. As I guess they changed the rules on that, or the legislation, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. So you're just go out there and make some rolling money. In the cash now.
Yeah.
So
there's
a big money man.
Yeah.
Well, and the odd thing, maybe it's not so odd, but you were a CPGA at one point. So was that just what got you into wanting to become a professional?
Well, like I said, my uncle was an assistant at Steinbach back in the day when I was growing up. So I kind of saw through him what the business was like. And from probably the time I started high school, I kind of knew that eventually I'd try and get into that path. So when I was 19, I think I was, I started working at Cory Oaks in the pro shop, and that year signed up for the PAT and I got in. So essentially that was my first real competitive tournament was the PAT.
No way. So yeah. You didn't pretty much did not play competitive golf before.
I played the Steinbach Club Championship and stuff like that. Like nothing big right. by any means. Like I said, one Manitoba Junior, which was way back in the day. So yeah, at 19, I kind of just played in and started playing professional events right away. So
did you play professional events locally or nationally? Or
just locally, okay. Yeah. Like the PGA of Manitoba had a little circuit. They still do. So playing a few of their one-day events, and then they're like the PGA championship type of things. So.
Okay. And you worked out of, you said Cory.
Yeah.
And then you did some. So where else did you end up working as a professional?
So I spent 3 years at Cory, and then I moved to St. B. I was there for 2 years. And then my last year in the business, I was working out of Elmhurst and primarily teaching with Derek Ingram.
Okay, so Derek basically made golf unpalatable for you, so you got out of it.
Yeah, like he actually kept me in the business a year longer than I was about to.
Really?
Yeah. I was going to get out after St. B, and I got the phone call in winter. He's like, I need a guy to help me out with the junior program and stuff. So,
oh, no way.
Hard to turn that down, right?
Yeah, so that's amazing.
Jumped at that and stayed in for an extra year, but at the end of that year, it was like, it's time to do something else.
Mm. What was it like, I guess, getting that call and working with him? I mean, he is the teacher in the country, aside from Brian Tukaruski, who is also in the house here at Avid Golf. But yeah, that must have been almost surreal. Maybe looking back, it's surreal.
Oh, definitely. It was unexpected for sure. And like I said, it's once you get that call, you can't turn it down. So immediately when I started working with him in that spring, just incredible how much knowledge he has. What blew me away the most is his incredible gift of communication. Like he's able to say the same thing in about 10 different ways to adapt it to that particular student. And that really resonated with me. Like, okay, this is a next level of teaching that I don't have yet.
Did you take anything like his advice and bring it to your game?
Yeah, I've kind of been that way my whole life, though, whether it be observing family or watching stuff on TV or other professionals that are around or good amateur players. I'm kind of just a sponge and kind of just pick up little tidbits here and there from everybody.
That might lead into the question of, do you maybe have a golf tip or tips that you received in the past that you can pass along to us that maybe has really stuck with you and you continue to use in your game today?
Yeah, there's probably a million little technical things, but sort of the one thing that sticks out the most from recent years is, must have been about 5 or 6 years ago, I heard a podcast with Scott Fawcett when he first launched the Decade course management system.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys know about that at all, but...
No. I haven't heard of it.
So Decade, is that an anagram? Is that what?
Yeah. So he basically reverse engineered one of Tiger's years of golf in 2000. And he tried to figure out by the math how he got so good. And he figured it out into basically a grid of mathematical sort of situations where A, it's off the tee. You're pulling a driver here or laying back on certain conditions. The other big thing is your approach shots, kind of having a pretty tight system for where you're aiming and why. So once that kind of clicked and I heard that podcast and learned his system a little bit, that was huge. It really made golf easier, if that made sense, because it just takes the guesswork out of it.
Right.
You're not playing on emotion, right? If you stick to the system and you play based off the math, it really does make it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. What is that podcast? Because maybe we'll go listen to that one.
Yeah, look up Scott Fawcett. So he's,
Scott Fawcett.
He's the guy.
That sounds like a risk-reward kind of thing, or like a lot of the dispersion data stuff too. Does that relate to some of that?
So you basically just kind of look at your shot pattern and kind of use that information to then plan out where you're aiming and why. Yeah. To try and optimize hitting the most greens in reg, not going after pins, kind of just hitting it tight by accident almost.
Yep.
But taking the big numbers out of it and just trying to shave, you know, a quarter of a point or a shot here or there. Just not trying to get it back all at once and make a double type of thing.
Exactly.
So, like I said, taking the emotion out of it and really just having a clear strategy, no matter where you're playing, it applies to every course.
Yeah.
Taking the emotion out of it. Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, I guess it kind of works differently for different folks, because we've chatted with a few people on this show on 18 over par who play with a lot of emotion. We mentioned Pete Moore, who was on season one, I believe it was episode 5 or 6. And that is a guy who plays with a lot of emotion. Like you hear it on the golf course of him yelling and screaming. I mean, Brad Curtin, the same thing. He was ultra competitive. Maybe suffered a bit from short man syndrome. He's going to hate me for saying that, but
ouch.
He was very, very aggressive and he played like a hockey player on the golf course.
Yep.
So that is, an interesting take. But I mean, you kind of seem like a, you know, kind of go with the flow, even keel kind of person. So maybe that's why the decade system kind of works for you, which is
and
interesting.
It's more for the emotion out of decision making.
Okay.
Right. I still play with emotion too. I get hot under the collar at times, but it really makes your choices of your clubs and your aiming points really clear. And there's a lot of things that he gets into on the mental side of things kind of associated with that. But like I said, it just kind of light bulb went off and I figured out how to work that into my game. And it's made a big difference.
Well, even working with Derek Ingram, Mike and I, we both have the book, don't we? The sports golf psychology book.
I purchased it and I read most of it. I don't know how much of it I applied to the game, but yeah, a lot of the positive thinking. So
there are certainly some worksheets in there.
Yeah.
You know, toward the end.
I was never a big worksheet guy. Not a range guy, not a worksheet guy, but we do. I own the book. Yeah.
I have the book. Yeah. Going through that, did any psychology lessons from Derek, did they bring themselves about when you were working alongside with him?
As far as the mental side, just trying to get, I don't know how to put this, maybe just more of a clear mind. I know he talked a lot about when he was playing professionally back in the day and how his mental game probably wasn't as strong as it was in later years after he stopped playing. So I guess at a younger age when I was working for him, I kind of instilled that in myself, thinking, okay, let's not live and die by every shot. Just have fun with it, really.
We can attest to that. We're trying to have fun with it, though it can be frustrating out there. Would have been fun to play the cradle, Mike.
It certainly would have.
Yeah.
Though, one of the things I did notice when watching is it's pretty tight, and there's people kind of everywhere there. So I was like, I was going to get just some rental clubs or whatever, and it would have been a little stressful in some cases when there's a, you know, a crowd of people on one side of the green, and I might pull it over there. But so
it does seem like a massive facility, though, even the practice area where you're showing some pictures of.
Yes. Well, and one other interesting thing, and they're hosting the U.S. Open this year, as I was talking to my buddy Ed for about an hour.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
I was like, oh, where are they going to put the driving range? And they're actually making the cradle course the driving range for the tournament. I don't know why, but maybe the other driving range isn't big enough. And so I would have thought they would have had maybe a kind of a warm-up tournament or a fun thing on the cradle, but no, it's going to be the driving range. So shout out to the USGA.
Yeah, they know what they're doing, right? Well, I'm sure they're going to make it tough regardless. We take a quick break to hear from Bryce Matlashewski, who is an investment advisor with Endeavor Wealth Management, part of IA Private Wealth, and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund.
Well, Bryce, it's great to have you on and to have a quick chat. My first question is, what can an investment advisor like yourself from Endeavor Wealth do for me, and how can that differ from my current experience of trading with Wealthsimple, just based on the recent Twitter feeds?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, you guys. Yeah, discount brokers like Wealthsimple certainly have their place, but at the end of the day, you get what you pay for. Those platforms are very limited in what they offer, and they're more ideal for just basic trading. So if that's what you're looking to do, it's really not a bad platform for that. But what we do at Endeavor, we take a more holistic approach. We examine an individual's needs, both short-term and long-term, and we go way beyond just investments. We look for tax opportunities, ensuring the decisions you are making today minimize your overall tax that you might be paying. We also help our clients address estate and insurance needs. So really anything we can do to assist in your overall wealth management approach. And going back to some of those discount brokers and things that you see on the internet, a lot of times people don't realize the amount of intrinsic risk that they're taking on with making some of those trades. And so finding balance is another key thing that we do for our clients at Endeavor.
That was Bryce Matlashewski, who is an investment advisor with Endeavor Wealth Management, part of IA Private Wealth, and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. You can contact Bryce at 204-515-3446. Adam, back to you. This is another interesting part of the story. And, you know, one of the reasons why it was really cool to get you on and appreciate you coming on is, so you were a CPGA, so you had your card, but now you no longer have your card. Is that correct? You're no
That's
longer
right.
a professional? Okay.
Yeah.
So what was that process like for you mentally? You just kind of mentioned you're maybe done with that side of the business. You wanted to move on to something else. Then how do you get your amateur status back?
So every year that you have your CPGA card, you're paying annual dues to the association. So at the end of my last year, I essentially stopped paying dues and then applied back to the RCGA to get my amateur status back. So back in the day, I think it's changed a bit now, but back in the day, if you were a pro for more than 5 years, you had a 2-year limbo period where you were essentially nothing. So you had to wait out that 2 years, and then after that, RCGA would write you a letter and say, okay, now you're officially an amateur again. So I think it was around 2011 or 12 I got that status back.
Wow. So you're not a pro and you're not an amateur. You just exist.
You're playing for fun.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
That was the first 25 years of my career, too.
Yeah.
Wow, that's Made interesting. And is it still that that time period? I don't know.
I don't know if it's still the 2-year if you're in the association for more than 5. I think rules might have changed a bit since then, but I've not been in the association, so I'm not even sure.
Yeah. I always ask if you get the a physical card.
Oh, but, yeah.
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 Did you have to mail that back? Or
No.
You framed it?
Or? Yeah, you got a fresh one every year.
Yeah. That's what your dues go toward.
Exactly.
Related to this, where was your PAT? Where did you have to take that?
The
player ability test.
Mine was at Tuxedo.
Okay.
No way.
And a funny story about that day. So it was 36 holes in one day. And this is back, I think they've changed this now too, but back in the day, you had one attempt per year. And that was
it. Oh, really? Okay.
So you knew that every August, that was a PAT time. So you were set up to go for your trial then. The morning of the PAT, I wake up and it is a monsoon. So I start driving from Steinbach to Winnipeg. I've got to pull over on the number one highway because I can't see. It's raining so hard.
Jeez. Oh, no.
So I call the shop and I'm like, are we on? This is ridiculous. And they're like, yep, we're going. So we get out there and playing in the most casual water I've seen in my entire life. We're taking drops on every shot. It was crazy.
I could imagine.
So played 36 holes, 34 of which were in absolute pouring rain.
Oh my goodness.
And eventually.
So it continued throughout the day in
the
tournament.
Whole day. So we got AT. Through it and got the card and away we went.
Was there anyone else who got the card that day? Do you remember? Didn't have to remember
the
names.
There was seven.
Sounds like some pretty tough
there
conditions.
Was 7 of 24 guys got it.
Wow, okay.
Wow.
So that's not bad because I know this past season they had one at Glendale And that was also monsoon conditions. And they got to redo the player ability test because the conditions were so awful.
It was windy, right?
It was, it was really windy. I think it was like rain off and on. I may have played that day. I think that was the day that I played. We played the match of Timmy G, Derek Instance, and then Team Lefty, Blair Mooney, and myself. The young guns versus the older guys, and they kicked our ass. But it was pretty wild conditions, and I think it was around that time that they had the PAT at Glendale there as well.
They're a lot softer now.
They are a lot softer now. These kids these days,
way
generations
softer. They got five chances a year
and
to
that
get
too,
out,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Hey, making some money though. Can't go wrong with the PGA making some money. They need it. So then you're back as an amateur, and did you start at a golf course? Were you at Elmhurst then? Were you at Steinbach? Did you remember somewhere?
I was at Steinbach for a number of years, probably 2012-ish through 2020.
Did you win the championship every year?
No, not every year. I got a few of them. I got three or so, but there's a couple players out there. So
Do they have an invitational there too or no?
No.
No, okay.
No, just the club. Okay. Yeah. But I didn't start playing amateur events for Golf Manitoba amateur events until I think it was 2013 was my first mid-am. I think every year after that, I would kind of pick and choose based on location, either am or mid-am. And then play the Invitational as well. And then I think it was like 2017 or 18, I started making a point of playing the mid and the am every year, and obviously the Invitational. And then as of a couple of years ago with the Scratch Tour round now, that's kind of doubled our competitive rounds for the year, which is awesome.
Yeah, I think we'll jump into that in a bit. I wanted to also touch on, you know, being at Elmhurst and Mundy Putter. Because Breezy Bend was on a tear for years and has been, but I think last year you snipped them. Elmer snipped them, and you were part of that team, correct?
Yep, we got them the last 2 years in the final.
Yeah. So I'm sure you see those guys a lot out there. Is there any animosity between Breezy Bend and Elmer? Is it all in good taste and good
fun? Not on our part. Maybe on theirs.
Maybe we should have asked Garth from the last.
That's right.
The last episode.
Yeah. No, it's a blast playing those guys. I mean, they got some of the best players in Manitoba, so it's always a blast playing them regular season and obviously playoffs too if you run into them. So we always have a really good match, and it's a blast playing those guys.
There's a lot of back and forth. Is there some mental war games going on beforehand? Is there any group chats going back and forth?
Not on our side, at least. Okay. I don't know. They might have their own group chat going wild. With Pete involved with that team, who knows, right?
Shout out to Pete Moore.
Yeah, we'll have to re-listen to that. Yeah. Episode 4 or something?
Yeah, 4 or 5 or 6 of season 1.
Yeah, that's been a highlight, though, the last couple of years. Like, we've got 3 in a row now, technically. I mean, our team is ridiculous. You have 8 guys that have been playing, but there's another 10 or 12 who easily could be on our team. It's just, you've got 20 plus guys that are scratch or better at our course. So just, it's pretty wild to look at the roster and kind of see what we're dealing with here.
But are you going to be back this year? That's the most important thing, because we talked early before we came on the show. You're battling an injury right now.
Yeah, it's kind of been a bit frustrating. At the end of the year, I messed up my wrist and found out a little while back I got torn cartilage in my wrist. So,
and it was due to most likely golf.
It was a golf injury. Okay. Yeah, it happened. I tweaked it first off in, I think it was middle of June, and took a week off or so, and it got better. And then September came around, I did it again. It was shortly after the Scratch Tour Championship. And just got to the point where I had to walk off the course a couple of times, and it was not a whole lot of fun. So I've been getting therapy on that, and it has gotten a lot better. I've been to Avid here a few times in the last few weeks, and getting through it kind of pain-free now. So I'm kind of crossing my fingers, hoping I can at least get through the season. And if I got to get surgery, then hopefully it's next fall.
Yeah.
And for playing competitively, it's an upper body injury. Yeah. We don't want to give away too many details here. We got the Jets game on in the background, so, I got to throw in, a little bit of hockey. Every now and then, but Prairie Scratch Tour. Mike, you got some notes on the Prairie Scratch Tour?
Oh, just the schedule. Yeah. The schedule looked neat. Well, you guys kick it off at Southwood in May, I think I saw.
Yep.
That's a treat. I'm sure you get to play there with Mundy Putter and other events, but that'll be cool that they is that the season opener then?
That is a season opener. That's, I think, the third week of May, I want to say.
Yeah, it could be some gnarly weather. You never know.
Well, the wind will be a factor there for sure, like it always is. But no, the whole lineup looks great this year. We got I think it's the best ball event is at Grand Pines. And then we go to Corey, and Falcon was a great host there last year. So looking forward to that again. And then, yeah, the Tour Championship back at Breezy.
Yeah, which is going to be a phenomenal way to cap the year and cap the season. I think this is the third year now for the Prairie Scratch Tour, if I'm not mistaken. So shout out to Jordy and shout out to Ben. And so there's individual tournaments. There's one Better Ball, right, tournament that's included in that throughout the season. And there's points then associated. It's kind of like the FedEx Cup sort of thing, right? And is that what you ended up winning last year?
Yeah.
For your consistency throughout the year? Okay.
Yeah, so there's essentially
the Tour Championship, I guess.
Yeah, there's a points race all year.
Yep.
The top 16 get into Tour Championship. And then just like the FedEx, they do staggered scoring based on your points for the year. So I think I started off one shot off the lead last year at Breezy. And then, yeah, we just played out from there, played two rounds. And fortunately, it worked out last year. It was pretty good.
And the wrist was left intact. It was okay.
Yeah, it really got injured kind of a week and a half after that. So
probably holding that trophy.
Probably holding the trophy. Probably drinking beers, yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at the pictures today. It looked like there's a vessel on the trophy for you to pour some beer into.
Yeah, we had a few from that one, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, also shout out to Breezy for being an awesome host, and Corey and the whole team there at Breezy Bend. Thank you very much for supporting our show as well. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Did you get to play in that nighttime shootout? I know they had that. Was that the first year? Did they have that last year? Or?
There was...
Selkirk? The Selkirk shootout?
Yeah, that was a Selkirk event. That was pretty fun. They put the big floodlights up on the hill on 18, and it was a blast.
That's cool.
It was really cool.
We got to get more night golf going.
Yeah.
Somehow.
There should be a track in the city, like throw Windsor, throw a bunch of lights up there or something, right?
Or Crescent Drive.
Something like that, yeah.
We talked to... the city there, and he had some ideas, I think.
Yeah, well, we might be talking to some other folks from the city as well this season, so stay tuned for that.
Ooh.
Maybe we can pitch that idea.
Wow, Mayor Gillingham.
Vote for golf in the city.
I don't think he was on that side.
I don't think he was either, but
he's a nice guy, though.
Big supporter of the pod.
Is he?
Big listener, oh yeah.
Sounds
or
good.
Maybe his assistant is. I don't know.
It sounds like you play a lot of golf. I mean, you got all these events. Like, how do you have time for all this?
I'm pretty lucky. Work schedule is kind of flexible enough where most times in summer I can get away by 4 o'clock or so and be playing by 4:30 or shortly after. Mm-hmm. So, getting in a couple of games during the week is pretty easy. And then regular weekend games, and you throw putter in there too, and it adds up quickly. So, I think the last couple of years I've been definitely over 100 games each year.
Oh yeah. Wow, yeah, that's really good.
That's amazing.
Like I was saying too, like with the Scratch Tour now and then playing putter the last couple of years, like I think I'm up to close to 40 competitive rounds per year.
That's
which has been huge because like I said before, like back in the day, 8-10 years ago, like I was playing maybe 6 or 7 competitive rounds. So just trying to catch up to the top players was way more difficult.
Right.
Playing that little competitive golf, right?
Yeah. Especially nationally, like we're kind of screwed here in Manitoba as far as the weather and competing against the guys from maybe BC or Ontario, they got a leg up on us.
Yeah, so for sure. And you can see it every year. Like I've been into the Canadian Mid-Am the last 2 years, and you see the guys from Southern Ontario and from BC. Like, there's an advantage for sure.
Yeah, you think it's just probably because their season's longer, they get that consistency.
Better competition out there too. Like they're playing against guys who are really good too. That's a big thing about like joining Elmhurst now. And like I said, the roster is so deep that every game you're playing with these guys, you're playing with Ryan or Jordy or Marco, and these guys are great players. So definitely makes you get better for sure.
Yeah, I would think so. And having mentioned on a national stage, you represented the province as well. So what was that like? Is it just for where you finished in either the Mid-Am or the Am, you got the chance to play nationally?
Yeah, so every year there's, a number of quota spots that Manitoba's got for nationals. So if you finish whatever X position in the tournament, you get an invite to nationals. So I was fortunate enough to get that the last 2 years and playing a couple of nationals. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, was there anything, I mean, mentioned competing against the likes of, you know, maybe some people in Ontario or Quebec or BC. Is there anything you can pull from, say their games? Or I'm sure it's still maybe competitive, but also there's a lot of camaraderie, I can imagine, as well.
There is. It's, yeah, very competitive, obviously, but it's a real fun vibe, too. I mean, you're going for a week of travel to, this last year we were in New Brunswick. We were playing right on the ocean, essentially. So,
wow.
Kind of mind-blowing to look out there and sort of see what you're, the land you're on, and it was an amazing experience for sure.
Yeah, shout out to Canada. Mm-hmm. Go Canada. So the Elmhurst Invitational, that's also a big deal. Mike and I, we don't get invites. Not yet, anyway. There should be a media category.
Should be a media category.
Yeah, I've actually, saw that at the Grey Owl. There's a media category in the Grey Owl.
Right.
Better start making some of those.
I've never.
They can have a media
category. Everyone just had a media category. Avid Golf media category.
Talk to Matt Lorenz. He'll hook it up for you.
I was going to say, I've never actually played Elmy, even though my cousin invites me probably
every two weeks.
He invites me to play out there. But I'm heading out to the lake on Friday afternoon. So I've dusted him off. So this year, John.
Yeah, we got to get out there.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get out there.
Right.
I've been out there a couple times, but you got to get out there too. That'd be nice to join you.
Yeah, come on.
Nice to join
us,
you, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And Brianne will get a lesson from her.
Yes.
And then we'll take on Jordy and Jack. And then if we have some more left in the tank, we'll play you, Adam.
Play me and Ryan.
We'll play you, like Ryan. Yeah. Give us about 40 strokes and maybe it'll be fair. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that. But yeah, it's a beautiful track. And I know when it comes up in the back nine lightning round, talking about some of the favorite courses that people play them at, it's always up there.
Yeah.
It really is a great spot. And yeah, hopefully get back there again this year.
Who's the course designer there? That's not a Donald Ross, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of his 20,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he designed at Pinehurst.
Pinehurst, yeah.
Remember, he was on the, in his, there was, who was it?
Yeah, who was it that brought that up?
It was Derek Goodwin.
Oh, okay.
And he told
the
us
professor.
The story that there's a, maybe I'm making this up, the ghost of...
Donald Ross.
Yeah. He was sitting on his balcony of his house that looks over the course or something, but he changes the pins or something mid. You know, if he sees a guy land close to it, he'll change the pin. But you'll have to re-listen. I'm butchering this story, but
we'll have to get DG back on to tell the story again, or you can just listen to it.
I was telling everyone there's a bunch of Donald Ross courses in Manitoba, and they're like, no, there isn't. He's never been there.
Legend has it that's how Pine Ridge and Elmy got their names, was from Pinehurst, because he did Pinehurst first.
Okay.
And then when he came up here, supposedly that's how they got their names up here.
Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pine Ridge,
so
Pinehurst.
The story goes.
Elmhurst,
that makes Pinehurst, sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm buying it. I'm a buyer on that story. I'll take it.
Yeah. No fact checking on that one.
No.
And I like the fit you wore, the Elmy's at level wear.
Yeah, this is the putter gear.
Okay, so that was also something new that I think we talked about maybe last season was now, I don't know if Breezy Bend started the trend, but now it seems like every club, if you're playing Monday putter, you got your gear. So what do you get?
Shirt, hat, hoodie type of thing.
Okay, nice.
We don't go too deep with it, but
that's pretty slick. Can you also buy those in the shop, or no? You got to be on the putter team. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I can imagine club championship at Elmy is pretty competitive as well.
I think it's one of the strongest events in Manitoba. Right. it's crazy. Like I said, like there's a bunch of guys that play Golf Manitoba events and Scratch Tour events. There's a bunch of guys that just play at the club. We don't play competitively outside of that are, you know, plus one, plus two caps. It's just stacked with really good players.
Yeah, so, and I guess, is that a two-day event?
We do three, actually.
You do three, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So is that just for the top flight?
The championship flight.
Okay, the championship flight, okay.
Yeah, everybody else is two.
Okay, so that makes sense. So it's like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and away you go. Oh, nice, okay. Do they give you any free beer or anything, or no?
I don't know about free. There's lots of beer going around. I don't know if it's free, though.
Brazen Hall, just support everybody.
Yeah.
In the city, outside the city, in Manitoba. Give the boys and gals some free beer.
I think that'll go over well.
I think so.
It's a good business plan.
Support those that support you. Give us a call. Brazen Hall.
We got to get some Level Wear merch going.
We do. I know we've... Have we received some anywhere? I know it's really nice. And like that looks nice in itself. And might as well. Not the hats, though. I don't think they make hats, do they?
No, I don't think so. I don't know.
What hat are you rocking there today, Adam?
This is Algonquin Golf Club. We played the Mid-Am at last year.
Very cool. I kept looking. I was like, is that Aces? Like, Live Tour Aces? No. And I was like...
Definitely not.
No. Do you watch any professional golf?
I do. Not Live. I've seen probably half an hour of that total. But I try and watch the tour and keep track of that. And I've actually been a bigger fan of the European Tour for... many years.
Oh, like the DP World Tour. Shout out to Aaron Cockrell.
Yeah, he's killing it out there. Yeah. It's great. But yeah, I watched that tour quite a bit.
Well, there is a thing, and we've heard rumors and rumblings that you get a little sprinkle of, I don't know if it's pixie dust or the golf gods looking good down upon you, but after you come on the show, you end up playing better golf.
Yeah.
You come on the 18 Over Par podcast and you end up playing better golf. I don't know what it is. Look what AC's doing out there.
Yep, yeah, I'm going to quote you on that.
Yeah. Hey, if you have another good year.
Yeah.
Strictly for that only applies to guests. I'm on the pod every episode and not getting any bumps.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How true. Oh, rats. Well, Mike, I don't know if you have any other ones here or...
Nothing else on my very short list here, but...
Well, I know you're busy. You've been traveling. But Adam, is there anything, any stories or things that you can remember? Maybe if it's with Derek Ingram or at Elmy or at Corey, anything? Words of wisdom maybe that you want to pass along before we jump into the back nine lightning round here.
Man, words of wisdom. I don't know. Not too wise.
You don't have to give us words of wisdom, maybe.
Not too wise. I don't know. man, just... the past couple of years, like I rejoined Elmhurst in, I think it was the middle of 2020, and coming back there and being there full time again has been just a blast. Like, I can't speak highly enough about the club, like the course itself, but the people there, the staff, they're incredible. So it's been a treat to be back there. And like I said, with the putter team, it's just been that much better, but yeah, it's definitely been a bit different the last couple of years, and it's been very, very special being there.
Good, yeah. Well, invite us there, and hopefully next time I'm there, I'll get to stay the whole time. That's another story for another day. We'll talk about that off air.
Yeah, it's good to get an Elmy guy, though, because even JR and I are both from the west side of the city.
We are, so that's right. Yeah.
Some of our guests are very... heavily populated at Breezy Bend or Glendale or there's some of those.
Oh, sorry.
But so it's good to get the perspective from the Elmhurst side. But
the guys up on the hill.
Yeah.
Guys up on the hill, yeah.
Yeah. But I did we can get into the back nine if
yeah, well, let's get into the back nine lightning round, and it is for Bryce Matlashewski, who is an investment advisor with Endeavor Wealth Management, part of IA Private Wealth, and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. You can contact Bryce, 204-515-3446. We also have all of his information in our link tree, so just go to our Facebook or Instagram, click on our bio, and our link tree is going to come up. Maybe we'll have a link to the Prairie Scratch Tour. So there still are some memberships. I'm pretty sure you can still sign up for the Prairie Scratch Tour. We'll have Avid Golf up there, and we'll have Elmy up there.
Mm-hmm.
And Brazen Hall. After they give us some money.
Yeah.
Or beer. Just sponsor us in alcohol.
Some money would
little
be
contract.
Some nice. Some money is good. I just thought of a question. Was there an event here with the PST, the Prairie Scratch Tour at Avid Golf over the winter? Or?
I don't think we had an event. We did our wind-up was here last year.
Right.
But I don't think we've had an official like tournament here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like off-season points.
Yeah. We actually threw that idea around a couple of, probably earlier this summer, but nothing came of it. But it'd be a good idea at some point.
Maybe if there is a media category.
Right.
Start it up.
We can start it up, yeah. The 18 Over Par Cup.
I don't got time for that.
Yeah, you're too busy playing Pinehurst and
putting, putting courses.
Putting courses, yeah. Oh, man.
Good. You got a nickname?
Usually just my last name. People call me Gunther.
Gunther.
Yeah.
Very nice.
No G unit, nothing like that.
No.
No. Okay.
That or AG, just my initials.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That makes sense. That's a big golf thing. My initials are MS, so it doesn't work very well.
Why not, Mike?
I don't know.
Shout out to the MS Society.
Yeah, now we got to make a donation.
Yeah, all right.
Brazen Hall's going to get us some sponsorship money, and we got to forward that on to cover our ass. Have you ever got a hole in one?
No.
No?
Oh, never. Right. Hey.
Yeah.
That might be our first one, maybe.
But I technically...
I don't think it's the first one.
But neither do we.
But I have holed out from the tee box. So there's a story behind that. So I was playing a men's league at Corio, because it's probably like 10 or 12 years ago. Playing number three on the Oak Nine, par three by the road. So it's a back right pin. I'm trying to hit a low cut back there, double cross it like crazy, way long left. I'm sure it's in the bush. Retee it, hit the low cut, and it goes in the hole. So I hold out. I hold out for a three.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking to hear, yeah. But I mean, that's pretty cool still.
But I saved par.
But what a three, yeah. Like that's there is also something to that.
Sure.
Pulling out from the tee box and saving par.
Yeah, but I don't have an ace.
After being dead, you don't have it.
Yeah.
You don't have a one on the scorecard.
No.
Yeah.
I got a one at the Thistle Dew. That's the putting course. Lots of Pinehurst content today. And then, you know what? While I was by myself, I raised my putter. I was like, and then I looked around. Nobody saw it.
No one was clapping. No gallery. No.
I was like, that was...
The PGA of Pennsylvania wasn't around to witness it.
They were not. No. No. Lots of hecklers, though, on the course, though. It's pretty funny. When people are teeing off, everyone's just making fun of them. And
jeez,
you guys from Pennsylvania... Anyways, what golf ball do you play?
Pro V1X.
Yeah.
Oh, are you a Titleist guy? We didn't ask what's in your bag.
So everything is Titleist except for the irons. Play Mizuno MP64 irons.
Ooh, Mizuno guy. Yeah. I know a Mizuno guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had those
I'm one of them.
You're one of them. I was like, are you a Mizuno guy?
Colin Abgro.
Yep. No, he's deep into that. I think he's got the full bag.
He does. Yeah, yeah. He does. Yeah.
After he sold 100 sets.
Yeah. All the freebies.
Yeah. Yeah, everything else across the board is Titleist.
Mm.
It's been that way for quite a while.
Their irons are sweet, though, I got to say.
Yeah.
Like the Mizunos. Love them. No free ads.
No. I'm open to sponsorships this season if somebody wants to make me a staff player. But
yeah, we got to get you a bag.
A bag?
Yeah, with your name on it.
Oh, that's true. I bought a bag. I bought a Sun Mountain bag. I want
to get embroidered.
Graphics on it, yeah. I'm not gonna put my name on it. That's I'd have to. Maybe if I pass the PAT test this year,
put the logo on there.
Yeah,
on your bag.
Absolutely. I would think I will. Yeah. MMS. Get my middle name in there too. M&M's.
M squared S.
What would be your favorite course to play in Manitoba?
So that's a toss-up, either Elmhurst or the Fly-In.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I grew up at the
home courses,
right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But if not those two, I would say Falcon Lake.
Yeah, Falcon. That's come up a lot, too. We were supposed to go out there last year and play it together, but we didn't.
Yeah? Did you go? I thought you were going to go.
I was going to go, but it was the weather that day was miserable. I think it was in October. It was a week before they were going to close, and I don't mind playing in the bad weather, but it's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to get out there.
This year. The hotel opened up at Falcon Lake again.
Yeah, I heard
that. So that's, yeah, good right. place to stay. I remember dropping a lot of money in the arcade back in the day at Falcon Lake.
So. I thought you were going to say something else.
It wasn't my money. Oh, what?
I don't know, the bar or the VLTs or something. I have no idea.
No. This is before I could party. Party like I do now.
Yeah, both great options there. Fly-In, I had the chance to play that for the first time a couple of years ago. So it was pretty nice. It's on a lot of people's lists too. Kind of a sneaky good course.
Yeah, it's great. There's no two holes that are the same. And I mean, it's always in good shape. It's great. I mean, I grew up there, so I'm biased. But
yeah, right. No, that's right.
Yeah,
I got to get out there.
I know a few people who have hole-in-ones there.
So, okay.
I don't know if you've gotten close there, but you got a bucket list course in Manitoba that you've never played?
Yeah, so I've played quite a few of them, but there's one I've been talking to Drew Jones about for a while, and that's Shiloh.
Oh yeah, very nice.
I've heard good things about that course.
Yeah. Mike, how was Shiloh?
Great greens. It was kind of cold and windy when we played there, but it was on one of the legs of the Harambe Memorial Golf Invitational. We went out that way. We played Shiloh, Oak Island. I think we just played those two courses, but yeah, very nice.
Oak Island's awesome too. We were there for the AM this year, and that was the first time I saw it. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been a fun event, I'm sure, everyone out there. Yeah, cool course, lots of some elevation changes. And what would be the most memorable course that you've ever played, in your opinion?
That's a good question. I think this last summer, Algonquin for the Mid-Am was right up there.
Yeah.
That was stunning.
And that was PEI? Or New Brunswick.
Right on. So we were right on the coast, and that course was in awesome shape. Really, really cool track. Just looking at the picture over there, just seeing mountains, I think of playing Silvertip.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got to play there too. Wow.
Yeah, so that was quite a ways back already, but I mean, you're on the side of a mountain, right? Like, it's just every direction you look, it's just stunning.
Yeah, you can't beat the sceneries of mountain courses.
No.
Yeah. Have you played Banff yet, Mike?
I played the tunnel course, is, I think it's a 9-hole course at Banff Springs.
Okay, so you wouldn't have played Banff then when you're out that way? No, you only played Silvertip.
Played Silvertip, and then actually that picture is of Kananaskis right over there. We played there a couple times too.
Yeah, wow,
that's pretty sweet.
Yeah,
there's so many iconic 18-hole courses out there. I only choose to play the iconic 9-hole courses, such as the Cradle and the Tunnel course at Banff Springs,
and any putting course you can find.
Crescent Drive. You got a bucket list course that you want to get out to?
Anywhere
in the world.
I mean, Augusta's got to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say a close second, though, is going on a trip to Ireland is right up there.
Yeah.
That's looks like a really sweet spot. I mean, there's so many iconic courses out there, and that would be right at the top of the list, too.
A lot of casual water, depending on the day and the weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just be like playing at Tuxedo on your PAT.
Yeah, that's right. I'm prepared for it.
Yeah. It might drain a little bit better than Tuxedo. Yeah.
You don't know that.
I don't know that. No, they put in that nice new fairway on 8 there. So.
Yes, right along Corydon.
Yeah, Roblin, Corydon. Yeah,
whatever it is there. Yeah.
Yeah, Ireland would be good. Is Royal County Down? Is that in Ireland?
Yep.
I saw some guys. Not that I know them, but I follow them on the Instagram. They were just there. Looked a little chilly, but certainly looks nice. You got a career low round?
Career low is 66 at the fly-in.
Oh, wow. Man, it sucks asking this question because I just feel getting beat up and attacked. That's all right. I know where I'm at. I know where I'm at with my golf game, but it's all right. But yeah,
your personal best, not just trying to beat your pro.
Right, exactly.
Best,
right? Yeah, you're only competing against yourself. Yeah. That's all it is.
Just try and beat yourself by one, right?
I've been trying. Hasn't happened.
You got a favorite golfer, a favorite professional golfer or amateur golfer?
Yeah, well, obviously Tiger's right up there.
Yeah.
I've been a huge Rory fan forever too.
Really?
Adam Scott has been one of my favorites for a long time. I mean, how do you beat that swing? Like, it's just technically perfect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you want to get in the technicalities of it or no?
After a few more beers, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Do you have our first major of the year would be the Masters. Do you have a Masters prediction at all?
Oof, that's a tough one.
Yeah, do you think Liv's going to pop up there at the top?
Or? Well, I mean, now that they got Rahm and all those
guys,
they got a way better odds, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Like DJ, Koepka, Rahm, Cam Smith, they all got a chance.
But yeah.
I guess Neiman, too, he's been playing
pretty good. Been playing solid this year.
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been watching... was it Full Swing on Netflix?
Yeah.
Season 2 came out. So I've only gotten halfway through that. That's been entertaining and certainly getting me ready and craving to play some golf. And yeah, that's good stuff.
That's good stuff. Thanks for the thing. There's another quote for you. That's good stuff.
That's good
Netflix
stuff.
Full Swing. That's good stuff.
That's good stuff. We'll put that on a t-shirt. Flagship question of the Back 9 Lightning Round. What is your favorite condiment?
Ooh, probably most commonly used would be ketchup.
Okay.
I don't mind a bit of relish.
Yeah.
Kind of dabble in a bit of everything.
That's okay. Good.
I don't get
like, are you like fully loaded on the burger and the hot dog?
Yeah, like I don't get too deep into the hot sauce stuff.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I know Al's got a bunch of stuff he's cooking.
Oh yeah.
It's
yeah, next, which I'm almost finished. Stuff. I'm almost finished the one bottle. It's taken almost a year, but man, is it good.
Yeah, I don't, mind, so I don't good. Mind a bit of that, but not too much. I don't go too heavy into that stuff, but yeah. Everything else is fair game.
Shout out to Alan McDonald.
Yeah.
Past guest, season 3.
There was some spicy stuff he had there.
There was some spicy stuff, and he had some great rum.
He did.
As well. Definitely. So shout out to Alan McDonald.
Lots of rum there. I got a hot dog at Pinehurst.
Really?
Yeah.
How much was the hot dog at Pinehurst?
It's a good question. It came with a beer, so but yeah, it was probably like $20 for a beer and a hot dog.
Wow.
That's steep.
It wasn't.
But you got free tees. Yeah, free golf tees.
I was like, what is the acceptable, in my head, I was like, what is the acceptable amount of free tees that I can grab from this bucket? And I drew the line at 4 handfuls.
4 handfuls?
Full handfuls.
Full suitcase.
You can't be the first guy to be doing that either.
No, for sure. Oh, no.
It's
got
to be happening every day.
Yeah. No, some guys aren't even thinking about. At some point, they probably just get caught off, and they're like, all right, buddy.
Yeah.
But I had bought, like, some merchandise, so I didn't, you know, heavily marked up bad. U.S. Open merchandise. So I didn't feel too guilty about it, but hopefully it'll last me through the season, and then I'll have to go back.
That's great. Hopefully it does. Well, that was the Back 9 Lightning Round for Bryce Malashewski, who is an investment advisor with Endeavor Wealth Management, part of IA Private Wealth, and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. You can contact Bryce 204-515-3446. Adam, AG, the Gremlin. I don't know. I just thought of calling you the Gremlin. I don't know for why.
We'll have to workshop some nicknames.
We should do that for all of our guests, and that could be another question that we can ask.
Gun thing.
What do you think about this?
Pick one of the next Gunner? Three. You know,
yeah.
Yeah,
and that's it. Yeah. That's going to be your nickname for the next year, and that's how you get the.
I did like G-Unit.
Bump. G-Unit. Yeah, that's not bad either. But anyways, we really appreciate you coming on the show. We've had really cool. Backstory of golf and a golf career. We wish you nothing but the best this year. Hopefully you take home the Prairie Scratch Tour title again this year. And come on down to Avid Golf. It's on Taylor Avenue here. Avid Luke, Avid Derek, Avid Ryan. Thank you guys so much for the hospitality. Mm-hmm. Rand Tukaruski.
Yeah.
They hosted a PGA of Manitoba event. I think it was for the ladies. Ladies. I believe Jacqueline Steep was here.
Cool.
Jax was here, also a past guest of 18 mm-hmm. Over Par. Wrapped up season 1. I believe it was episode 33.
Wow.
Of season 1. I remember
you
that.
You know the episode. It was the last episode.
It was the last
of the season.
Episode of the season 1, yeah. So that was an easy one to remember. And thanks to Brazen Hall again and Avid Luke and all the folks here at Avid. We got the Amber Ale, the course record. This is really good beer. And then we got a couple blondes here as well. Tasty and delicious. Thanks again for listening. Come on down to Avid Golf. Let's go play Elmy. It's warming up. Can't wait.
Hopefully the season starts soon.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it again. And all the best to you, Adam. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks
and
for
have
having
yourself
me.
A wonderful night. Let's go drink. Bye-bye.
So long.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.